The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 19th day of April, 2013. Let's take a quick look at the numbers. The Dow is down 20 points. The S&P is down 6. The comp is down 12. Gold is up $8.10, while crude is off 43 cents a barrel. Up on the screen, you can see the S&P 500 E-mini futures. Thank you very much, Francis. Just a little comment there in the chat box on the tweet. We'll get into that in a bit. As you can see, this is the range that was handed us on Monday during the day session. Weekly trading zone overhead, 53.54 and below, 44.45. Held the market in check this morning, just after midnight. We bounced off of this level. And now we're starting to fall, and it looks like we're going to be testing potentially. This is the low area on Sunday night. The Globex open, the whole Cyprus business. We're getting perilously close to challenging that area. Michael, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Folks, we're going to let Michael go ahead and run with the recap right now. And then when he's finished, I'll cover a couple of just really quick headlines. I think Mike Reed's going to pop in today. And then, of course, we'll head out to Vegas to talk to Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com.
Excellent. All right, let me grab the charts. Man, what nice movement we just had, huh?
Big move, yeah. Wait and see what that news is. Mm-hmm. All right, it's all yours. I'm going to hit mute.
All right, I got it. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Let's get my recorder going here. All right. Here we go. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. Let's go over the results of the live trading room to start with. All right, on gold, we got plus 6 ticks. On crude oil, plus 1 tick. On the euro, plus 2 ticks. And on soybeans, plus 4 ticks. Okay, it took us 48 minutes and 3 trades to get our 2 points. The market started out pretty slow this morning. It was like they were waiting for a big news event or something to happen like this. But let's just, let's see. Right now, we are at 3,500 per contract, I believe, on the month. $3,500 per contract, and we took, I'm not sure how many trades we took today. I think we took another 5 or 6 trades, so it's about 102 trades, 102, 103 trades, and we're up about $3,500. All right, let's go over the trades, okay? On crude oil, we had a couple of trades that we took this morning. Let's just jump in here, and I'll point out the trades that we took on crude, okay? Let's see, when the morning started off, we got in here and we were looking for before I get too much into this, because I know once I get into the flow, I'm hard to stop. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get 5 days in our live trading room. You get to sit there and download the charting platform, download the indicators, actually take all the trades that we take, all the trades that set up, however you want to do it. You get to do all that stuff in the live trading room in the morning during your free trial. The live trading room is 5 business days, 2 hours per day, right? If you have not signed up for that, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, okay? We are currently in the live trading room on trades that we've taken in the live trading room. We're up $3,500 per contract for the month of March. That's 13 days, I believe, and $3,500. All right, so now where was I? The trades. I'll show you the pictures here. This is going to be one of these pictures. Okay. This is the trade setup. There are 2 trade setups that we use. The same exact trade setups, the same exact indicator sets, the same time frame across all the markets I'm going to show you. Okay. You look for your bearish cross of the MA1 down below the BBC. The BBC is the green line. The MA1 is this red and blue line. When you get that cross, you see that's step one, the cross under. After you get that, you look for price to pull away. That's step two, pull away from the BBC. That's right in here. This was step one. This was step two. Step three is a pullback up to test the BBC with a down close. Okay? That was right up here, was step three, the down close on the Gravestone Doji right there. And step four is you look down here to see if you have bearish divergence in a red cycle. Okay? We had bearish divergence and we had a red cycle. Right, so the entry was right there on the down close, and you would have been looking for that to get down, well, to the prior swing low or until the green line got into the cycle, either one. When that happened this morning, the green line got down into here, and we didn't put in a lower swing. I had pointed out that this area right here will probably be a bottoming area. All right, we'll probably see a move up off of that, and we had a move up off of that, a nice move up, I might add. Once we got the move up, price came back down, tested the BBC here. Now, this is the other trade that we do in the live trading room. Okay, let me bring that one up. All right, I'm only going to show these pictures. Actually, this isn't the other trade. Well, I'm going to show these pictures twice, though, but this is the same thing as is this trade, just on the other side. A bullish cross test of the BBC and an up close with bullish divergence in a blue cycle. Okay, step one is the cross. Step two is the space. Step three is the test with the up close. Step four is the bullish divergence with the blue cycle. All right, we got long there, and we put our stop at plus one tick, and it took us out at plus one tick. All right, then it changed directions, and this is the other trade right here. All right, now let me bring that picture up for you. That's this trade right here, the trend line trade. Hang on, there we go. All right, now this one comes into play, and the trend lines really come into play when the price has so much momentum that it doesn't pull back up to the BBC. All right, price never pulls all the way back up to the BBC. In that case, you draw a trend line up the bottoms. You start drawing a trend line up the bottoms, looking for divergence down on the bottom, and you look for a down close below the trend line, in this case, to go short. All right, and that's what we got right there. We moved our stop to break even once we had four ticks profit in the trade, and it came back out and took us out at break even. All right, and that was pretty much all we did on crude oil this morning. But you can see there was more of these trades. There was one right in here. This was after the morning session ended in that big move down that just happened. There was one right here. This was the bounce off the BBC right there. Okay. And this, if you were to draw the trend lines, you would have drawn your trend line from this. Oops, that's not a trend line. You would have drawn your trend line from this swing low right here. Up the bottom like that. This would have been the down close below it for the move down. All right. If you missed that one, there was another one right after it, right here, for that move down. Okay. There was another opportunity over here where price pulled back up and tested the BBC. Now, once it hits the BBC, you no longer move your trend line. Okay. But that would have been the spot. And once it hit the BBC, the cycle was the wrong color. That is the other time that you would use your trend line. Number two, if price hits the BBC and the cycle is the wrong color. It hit the BBC and the cycle was the wrong color, so you use the trend line and it closed down below the trend line. It would have been right there. Okay? Right there. For that move down. All right? That was crude oil this morning. So we got one tick on crude. On the Russell this morning, we had a little bit of trouble with the Russell this morning because the ES was going into the weekly trading zone for so long. We did take a short trade over here on the Russell, and it gave us four ticks profit. We moved our stop to break even, and it came back and took us out at break even. It continued to go down, but it was going into the weekly trading zone on the ES, so we didn't take any trades in here. We just highlighted areas where you could have traded, okay? But we didn't take any trades ourselves. You can see it did drop down. There was an opportunity in here for those of you guys who know the black line trade. Go back to workshop number 98 in the members area. Check it out if you want to. There was an opportunity to get long right here. And I know at least one partner did, and he took 20 ticks off of that thing. Price reversed right here. You got your bearish cross. Now in here, you would have had to draw on the trend line. Again, I don't know where the ES was at this point because this was during the break, but the down close below the trend line with the bearish divergence would have gotten you in right there. You would have done the same thing over here. Okay, the down close below this trend line was right in there for that move down. Then it came up, it just hit the BBC, and it's doing it again right now. Right there is the trend line. Okay, so the down close below that trend line was right here at 938.6. The green line is in the cycle already, so at this point, the green line's gone through the cycle. At this point, if we don't put in a lower swing on this move, that is bottoming formation right there. If it doesn't put in a lower swing right here, okay, it needs to put in a lower swing. Otherwise, that'll be bottoming right there. And we'll see where it goes from there, okay? But this trade entry was right here at 938.5 was the opportunity on that. You can see it's already dropped down 10 ticks. Okay. For all of you guys who have been watching this. Right over here we have gold. We traded gold a little bit this morning. We had a couple of trades that we took. A nice win, a break even, and a loss. Okay. On the winning trade, I actually had a couple of contracts on the winning trade, and I ended up getting 28 ticks, but per contract it was 14 ticks, so that's what I'm counting is the 14 ticks. It was the same thing as what I had been showing you before. It didn't have enough, it had so much momentum that it didn't pull all the way back down to the BBC. I drew the trend line in, it closed up above the trend line, we got long, it moved up. I just want to point out the Russell did put in a lower swing there, so that's not bottoming. Okay. The way that it worked out after that quick move up, you had bearish divergence and you're trading above the BBC, so there was no opportunity to trade in there. We had a pullback down to test of the BBC here with an up close above it. There wasn't, by the time the trade entered, I actually entered this by accident. Well, not by accident, but it was a mistake to enter this trade because the green line was already into the cycle. I entered it, and then as soon as I entered it, it moved up, and I put my stop right at break even, and it took me out of break even right there. Okay. The next trade that I entered was way over here. I took a long trade, and it stopped me out for minus 8 ticks. All right. That's what put me at plus. That's what put me at plus 6 ticks on the NQ. I mean, on the gold. I'm actually at plus 20 ticks, but I'm only counting one contract. All right. Let's see. After the morning session ended, you can see with the news that just came out, gold started to move up. There was an opportunity to enter there. There was another opportunity to enter on this move. There was one there. There was one over here. And the green line was already into the cycle on that one. Now it's changing directions. You see how the cycle moved down and you have bearish divergence. So it's changing directions here. Nothing in there because the black line moved up above the green. So that's it. That was it for the gold. All right. Let me jump over here to the NQ. Now the NQ had a huge move down right there. Look at that. Look at that. After the morning session ended. There are some pretty good opportunities on the NQ this morning during the live trading room. Yeah, there was a shorting opportunity in here, long there, long there. I pointed all those out in the live trading room. I didn't have an NQ DOM up, so I didn't trade any of them. But over here, the ES was going into the weekly trading zone. So right in here where it flattened out, we weren't looking to trade anymore right in there. Okay. The thing kept going flat, and then it started to move up. In the last half an hour of the live trading room, it started to move up. There was a nice long opportunity right in there. There was another one right here on the close, the up close. I needed to adjust that trend line. That was at the end of the morning session. That's why I hadn't adjusted it. But the up close above that trend line, which was right there. Okay. Then whatever the news was came out. I'm sure Dwayne's going to have it in his headlines. There was the opportunity right there, the down close, the bearish divergence for that big ride down. Now, if you missed that first spot, there was another one right there, another one right over here. Oops, it moved on me. Another one right in there, another one right in here. Okay, if you missed this first one, you could enter short there, there, there. Nothing in here because the divergence just isn't there. So those were the last opportunities. There were four opportunities on that move down. Okay. And that was the NQ this morning. Soybeans. We took one trade on soybeans this morning. It was right in here. There were a few of them that were available, but we only took one. We had the bullish cross, pulled away from the BBC, test the BBC, gave an up close with a bullish divergence. All right. I didn't take that one, but I did take this one because we had more divergence here. So I took this one and I moved my stop up to plus 4 ticks once we had about 6-8 ticks in it. I moved my stop up to plus 4 ticks. It came back, took me out at plus 4 and then ran up another 12 ticks. You can see right now on the soybeans we're starting to diverge a little bit. Bearish divergence. We need a down close on the current bar. The Russell. Right now, again, a down close on this bar would be bearish. I'm sorry, I'm just snapping right into live trading room mode here. Down close on this bar would be a trade on the Russell. On the Soybeans, a down close right here at 14.13 even would be a trade. You could get short there at 14.13 even on the soybeans. Let's look at the ES really quick, okay? We didn't have any trades on the ES this morning in the live trading room. And it got down into the weekly trading zone and went sideways quite a bit. But on the move down, there was an opportunity to get short right there. All right, there's the shorting opportunity right there on the soybeans, 14.13, even maybe 14.1275 if you could get it. On the Russell, you need to move the trend line. I'll show you what I mean. On the Russell, you need to move the trend line because you got that wick. So the trend line now goes like this. Okay, so down close on the current bar, though I don't like the way the cycle is. It's not optimal on the Russell right now. Okay. Over here on the ES, you can see we had the same thing. Price had so much momentum it didn't pull back to the BBC. Drew the trend line in, the down close below the trend line with the bearish divergence. That was your opportunity. The next one was right in here. There's your trend line up the bottoms. Here's your bearish divergence and a close down below the trend line. Now the cycle is the wrong color, so you need a down close below the trend line to get into that. Now it's too close to the weekly trading zone to be taking any trades, but that is what we had this morning over there. Natural gas, we didn't take any trades on natural gas. We only highlighted one area. This was after the fact that we highlighted that area this morning. You can see right now what was available right over here, this up close. Nope, actually, looking at the trend line. I was eyeballing the trend line the wrong way. And up close on the current bar. Yeah, there's not really anything in there. Not really much at all there in the natural gas today. Okay, maybe right in here. Right in there. Okay. We didn't take any trades on natural gas. On the euro, we took one trade on the euro. We'll go back to that one. It was right in here. We had the bullish cross, tested the BBC with an up close, bullish divergence, and a blue cycle. We got long right in here. We moved our stop up to break, actually up to plus a couple of ticks. Not just break even, but plus a couple of ticks. And once we had moved the stop up to plus a couple of ticks, price came back down, stopped us out at plus a couple of ticks, and then ran up another 10 or 12 ticks. there were more opportunities in here. You can see in here as price was moving around. It got pretty choppy, and there wasn't much to do, but once it started to move again, you had your bearish cross, you tested the BBC in a down close, right in there. Bearish divergence there and there. Okay. Down there. And came up and tested the BBC with a down close again right there. Had some bearish divergence. It had a blue cycle, so you needed the close below the trend line. It would have been right there. That would have stopped you out. That one. Okay. Now with all the movement that just happened in all these other markets, the Russell never gave a trade over there. I just wanted to point that out. Currently, the Russell didn't give a trade. All right. Right there would have been the spot to short it on the way down. And right now, this down close over here would have been a spot to short it, too. Things are a little... Actually, no, that wouldn't have been a spot to short it. There would have been no spot to short it, actually, right here. Right now, you know, when we figure out what the heck is pushing the markets all over the place right now, we'll... Well, I'm sure it's got to be pretty significant. Something happening in Cyprus, I'm pretty sure. But it's really moving the NASDAQ around more than most of the others, it seems. But that's it. All right, that's what we had in the live trading room this morning. Does anybody in here, I know we have a whole bunch of people in here, does anybody in here have any questions? If you do, just type them in and I'll be happy to answer your questions. Okay, I'm the only one that can see them. Well, me, Dwayne, and Burr are the only ones who can see the questions. So if you have any questions at all, just type them in. And I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Reminder for all those folks who are partners, there is a partners meeting Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. For all you guys who are on the free trial, you must be a partner to get into that partners meeting. Okay. And that's it, guys. With that, I think I'm going to wrap it up. If you haven't taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. So far for the month of January, I think I just pointed out about 5 trades that we took this morning. Soybeans, the euro, 2 on crude, and 2 on gold. 6 trades that we took this morning. So we are currently at 103 trades on the month and $3,500 per contract. Okay, on the month of March. And that is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 days, 13 trading days. All right. That's it. With that, I'm going to wrap it up. I don't see any questions getting typed in, so I'm going to wrap up the recording right here, and we'll pass it back over to Dwayne.
Okie doke, Michael. Right. Thank you very much. And I know some folks just heard those numbers, and their brain went, "Rawr." That doesn't make sense. 103 trades? What?
Yeah.
Now, that sounds like a lot. And depending upon your definition of a lot, it could be, I suppose. But he also said that the figure was $3,500. And so if you take, that's gross, if you take 103 and you multiply it times a high round turn commission rate of $8, which hopefully none of you are paying, but if you are, call Bert. There is a better deal. So if you take 3,500 and you take away 800, you're left with 2,700. Okay. So does it matter how many trades you took if you're net positive? Now, also, let me say this. What we teach is to get yourself a couple points a day and be done. Now, how long did it take today to get the couple points, Michael?
It took 48 minutes.
Okay, 48 minutes. And how many trades?
3 trades.
Okay.
3 trades.
So,
you can actually see right here how long it took.
In 3 trades, it took you 48 minutes. You got your 2 points for the day. Why did you keep trading?
Because I have to keep trading in the live trading room.
Exactly.
I'm teaching in the live trading room. Teaching and trading to show everyone how to put the trades on, take the trades off, when the trade's set up. All that sort of stuff.
See, I think, so, guys, now listen, because I know this is where the disconnect comes in for a lot of folks. See, in 3 trades, 48 minutes, we had our couple points for the day. Had we not been in a classroom setting where we're teaching and training, we would have been in stop mode. In other words, we're done mode. But we've committed to teaching and training for the full 2 hours for the benefit of the partners. And for the benefit of those who are in to take the free trial. So that's one of the reasons there's 103 trades so far for the month, because we're committed to taking every setup that rolls along that we spot during the 2 hours. Now everybody goes, oh, well, that makes a little more sense. See, if you were trading, you wouldn't have 103. If you were trading with us, you wouldn't have 103 trades, because you wouldn't take every trade that Michael takes. You would only take what was necessary each day to get your couple points. Now, some days that's 1 trade, 2 minutes. Some days it's 10 trades, 2 hours. Okay? You don't know what the day is going to hand you. You just wake up, not with a knot in your stomach, but filled with great expectation and anticipation, because you know that you're in control. Now, I'm not saying you can control the market, but you can control one thing, yourself. And some of you are chuckling, going, I wish I could control myself. Well, there are a lot of moving parts in the market. There's all these people all around the world putting on and taking off trades, small people, retail traders, big, you know, fat cats, hedge funds. At a whim, at a moment's notice, for no reason at all, they can put on a huge trade, take off a huge trade. That affects your trade. Not that somebody's trying to run your stop. Don't get me caught up in this conspiracy thing, because I don't buy into that. However, you don't have control over the market. The only thing you have control over is yourself, your emotions, when you get in, when you get out, and how much you're willing to risk. See? So, anytime you're faced with an equation that has factors you can't control, well, don't spend too much time worrying about what you can't control. Focus on what you can control. You can control the trades you take, when you get in, when you get out, how much you risk, and when you stop for the day. That's where you're, and that's what we try to teach you when you become a partner, is how to harness what you can control and use that in your favor. Okay? So that maybe might help you understand the numbers a little bit better. Because you might be sitting there going, well, gee, I kind of like these guys and they're really doing well, but I don't want to take 103 trades. Well, you know what? I'd take 1,000 trades if I needed to be net positive for the month, but that's not what I'm saying, and you don't have to do that. Most days, a couple, 3 points, you know, gets you. Some days 1 point will get you your couple points. Now, I got my couple points last night at midnight. I was trading the new crude contract. I sat down at my desk, brought up the new crude chart. There was a little bit of an unusual trade, and I said in the video that I might go into that in the partners meeting. I don't know that I will, but I did video it, and I did show you just some unorthodox things. But I just took a trade, and I ended up with 8 ticks, and I was really tired. It was 12:30 at night, and I went to bed. But I videoed it, and I'll put it up on the site later. Speaking of videos, you got a trade going on?
I don't have any live on right now. I was just highlighting areas where trades just happened.
Okay,
in a bunch
I was
going to
grab the screens back here for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah. All right, speaking of videos, we've been known from time to time to get a testimonial from a partner. But yesterday was the first time we got a video testimonial. And let me add an unsolicited, uncompensated testimonial. And while Alan says some nice things about CFRN, what he is this is a guy that's been around the block a time or two. This is really, it's a testimonial not so much about CFRN as it is about Alan and about the struggle he's had in trading and the lessons that he's learned, and he's trying to pass along some encouragement and some wisdom to fellow traders. This video has already been watched a lot of times so far since I posted it last night. If you haven't watched it after the radio show today, it's about 5 minutes. I encourage you to watch it. Not so you'll get pumped up about CFRN and become a partner. I mean, if that's the residual effect, so be it. I can't stop it. It's bigger than both of us. But I want you to hear it because of the encouragement that he offers you as a trader who might be struggling. It doesn't matter if you're a CFRN partner or not. Whatever methodology you're using, however you're going about it, listen to what this man's been through. Listen to how he's dealing with it now. And listen to the peace that's in his voice. It'll move you, okay? There's also a video I put up, Trading Natural Gas for Fun and Profit. And I got to tell you, I shied away from the whole video business there for quite a bit. But then I kind of got the swing of it, and so, I don't know, you guys may be getting tired of it, but I don't know what to tell you, because I'm learning how to use some of the controls in my video thingamajig. Also, while I was taking that crude trade last night, I sent out a tweet at 11:46 p.m. Pacific time for the S&P, consider being short below 1542 or long above 1561, whichever presents first. Now, that sounds like a man that doesn't know if the market's going up or down. You're so clever. You busted me. I didn't. But as I've shown you guys at the end of the radio show a couple times, and I've shown you guys in the partners meeting, and as Mark Douglas so eloquently tells you in his book, Trading in the Zone, which, by the way, if you haven't read it, you really need to, okay? It's not new. There's no charts or setups or strategies or indicators in the book. But I'm telling you, it will change your business of trading. He says you don't have to know what's going to happen next to make money in the market. Now, that's a head-scratcher. You go, that's impossible. How could I possibly make money in the market if I don't know what's going to happen next? Well, last night, the very nature of my tweet, which said, consider being short below 1542 or long above 1561, whichever presents first. Clearly, I didn't know what was going to happen. But look what happened. If you had followed those instructions, from 15.42 down to 34 and a quarter. How many points is that, Michael? Is that almost nine? From 42...
I'm sorry, Dwayne.
From 42 down to 34 and a quarter. 15.42 minus...
Down to...
15.34, 25.
That would be 7 3/4.
That would be 7 3/4. Really? Okay, I'll trust you. 7 3/4 points. So see, that's that right there. And that happened, the bulk of it happened pretty quick. Okay, once this thing started to go, it went. So, if you don't follow us on the Twitter, you can. Twitter.com/CFRN. Okay, go there, click follow. And what you also need to do is you need to go to the website, partner or not. You need to install the toolbar. Those of you that are running the toolbar, if you're using Google Chrome, there was an update today and you need to re-enable your toolbar. Get this toolbar running. Okay, what's the toolbar? It's this thing right here. It keeps you connected to CFRN. You can listen to the radio anytime in the background. You've always got the tweet, the latest tweets right at your fingertips. You can do your Facebooking, any tweeting you want to do. You can check your Gmail, add stuff to your Amazon wish list. And then when you drop this down, you have full access to our daily newspaper, our Google Plus page, our Seeking Alpha page, the Daily Audio Bible, and daily economic reports. Okay, the economic reports are really good because these are global. They're not just the ones happening here in the U.S., but they tell you stuff that's going on. Like last night, when I put on that crude trade, if there was some big economic event happening, I probably would want to know that before I stepped in front of the trade. Just got a text from Mike Reed, who was coming in today. Java update needed when logging in. Now I'm stuck. If not on by 12:45, my apologies. All right, hey Mike, no problem, buddy. I know that happens, and I had an issue with my platform this morning. I had to reboot the whole shoot and match. Now tomorrow, guys, is Fed Day, and we also have the German economic sentiment coming out tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. No, wait, that was today, right? That was today. Tomorrow we got. Let's see. Claimant count change. I have no idea what that is, but it's a high impact at 5:30 a.m. Another high impact, MPC meeting minutes, Great Britain. High impact. And then in the U.S., we got the FOMC statement tomorrow, 1,400 hours, interest rate decision, Bernanke's going to speak. And then we get a high impact New Zealand GDP. See, you don't find these world economic reports on most of your economic calendars, but if you use the one that's built into our toolbar, you will. The toolbar's safe. Your antivirus software is going to caution you, hey, do you know what you're doing? And you just say yes. You got my word and the word of Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, who we built this toolbar in conjunction with, that there's no adware, badware, malware, or spamware. There's only goodware, enrich your lifeware. All right? Now, by having that toolbar there, you'll stay on top of the tweets, along with, you could have them sent to your email, you can have them sent to your cell phone, like as a text message, because maybe you want to be able to take advantage of this kind of thing. Back on Friday, we sent a tweet out to get short off of this doji right here, okay? And we had a nice run down, 3 points, came back, tested our entry, continued to sell off into the close. We closed very bearish, and we all know what happened Sunday night. So some people were most likely still in that trade, or at least partially in that trade. And I'm sure most people probably, once this thing gapped that far down, opted to get out. I'd love to hear from someone that maybe managed to stay in a little bit longer. So, they're there. Gives you an idea of what you can learn how to do if you decide to become a partner. I mean, we do great things every day in the live trading room. Michael does an excellent job. We're teaching you how to get a couple points, how to create daily income in the live trading room. But is there more? Well, there is. Okay, but don't worry about the more too much until you nail down that daily income. That's really important. That's step one. Whether it takes you 6 weeks, 6 months, or a year, it's not a race, but you can't build on a shaky foundation. And that solid foundation needs to be your confidence in being able to walk up to the market on any given day, sit down, be calm, have peace, and know that you understand how the market flows. You have an indicator set that we've provided you with. It's like fancy reading glasses. When you put them on, it shows you the rhythm of the market and allows you to simply participate in what the market is doing. You're not trying to beat the market, outfox the market, outsmart the market, outgame the market. No. All you want to do is flow with the market. If the market's going up, hey, you want to be long. If the market's going down, hey, you want to be short, you know? So, it says, hello, I got a question in the chat box. How many trades, based on your system, can I expect daily on average? Well, if you're looking to trade, let me just type this in. We teach you to go for 2 points a day. That could be one trade or 10. That was an eloquent answer. I'm going to transfer it over to you now, Michael.
Okay. All right. I can tell you what the average was so far for the month of January. It was 3 trades per day to get the 2 points.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions? Otherwise, we're heading for Vegas. I think Mike Reed might not be able to make it in because he's got that Java issue going on.
Okay.
I don't see him.
I'm going to shut my mic off for right now so you don't hear me typing.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to head on out to Vegas. Robin won't be with us today. She had an appointment. She'll be back tomorrow. But we'll go talk to David right now at pagetrader.com. Don't touch your radio dial. We got to pause for a station identification, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Michael, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning, David.
Well, we've had a lively...
Well, we have certainly...
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, Dwayne.
I was just going to say, we've had a lively market today.
We've had a lively market, lots of market movement, lots of things going on, lots of stuff to talk about, you know... Just a lot of movement. So,
indeed. Now, they were supposed to take a vote, and I don't know if they've voted yet. It was supposed to happen at 12 p.m. Eastern. Let me just share. I was going to share this earlier, and breaking story, check back. Well, here's the deal. Let me see if I can back up my browser and catch that story. I had it. Okay. Stocks turned lower with the euro tumbling to its lowest level since November, amid worries that Cyprus will reject the bailout plan. Now, that's, you know, everything we talked about yesterday where they're going to tax those bank accounts. The Dow turned lower, dragged down by Caterpillar, S&P and the NASDAQ lower. The VIX, considered to be the best gauge of fear in the market, traded above 13. Stocks took a sharp leg lower shortly before noon after a spokesman said Cyprus's ruling party will abstain from the bailout vote, according to the Dow Jones. Meanwhile, the finance minister of Cyprus offered to resign, but his resignation has not yet been accepted. No one has any confidence. We've been battered around an awful lot, according to some guy from Wells Fargo. If we learned anything in the last couple of months, we have more risk than we thought we actually had, except some of that risk was to the upside. So I think we've become a bit agnostic as we come into this moment in time. Now, the vote, the Cypriot Parliament is due to vote on the legislation at 12 p.m. Eastern today. So that was 42 minutes ago. The specter of default looms ever larger for the country as lawmakers look set to reject the plan. The country's banks remain closed, and trade on the island's stock exchange is also suspended until Thursday. And the euro fell below 129, briefly hitting its lowest level since November of 2012. And we'll be looking at the euro here in just a minute, guys. So, well, David, that's all I've got. I mean, I got generic news, but we won't go into that tech stuff. That's what pushed the markets lower. I just thought it would be worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, it's always interesting to know the news. At the very least, there's a very good likelihood that Cyprus has a lot to do with what we're seeing in a number of markets here. To be honest with you, I think our current administration, although they might deny this, would not be against such an idea, the Cyprus idea. I don't think they would be against that idea under a set of conditions. I think I could hear them in my mind arguing for, you know, this to be done because of the need and, you know, so on. But be that as it may, that's just my opinion. On the other hand, we do have something very real happening in Cyprus where they're actually attempting to do this. And if they do pull it off, it's going to stand as an example to people who think this is a good idea, as a good idea, as something that works. You know, there you are. We took it, and now we have it. And we don't have to go through a lot of trouble getting it. We just go to the banks, scoop it up, and run with it. And, you know, I don't know. There's probably a lot of people that think it is a good idea. You know, probably those people are on the left, far left, that is, because there's plenty of really good people on the left that have common sense. But if you get to the extremes on either side, and that includes the right, obviously, you get nuttier and nuttier people. And, you know, this is just nuts, obviously. But I would not be surprised to hear other countries, including ours, at some point present this idea or demand that something like this get done in order to solve problems that they themselves had, you know, put into action. As an example, you know, the taxpayer, the person who goes out and actually earns the money, is you and I and all the listeners. When we send that money in under the threat of prosecution and so on, the government is supposed to do something wise with that money. If they don't, and they end up spending more and wasting it and having lots of fraud and abuse, where are they going to go but us to go get more? And that's what we're seeing now. And later, if the problem gets really severe, I would not be surprised to see, if Cyprus does go through, the same kind of idea presented here. Would not be surprised. Not going to happen tomorrow, but I would not be surprised if these people say, well, yeah, that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to get rejected. I mean, certainly that article sounded like they were going to reject it. And you know who, interestingly, as I've read about this, of all the different groups of people who will be affected if this were to go through, do you know who they say would be the hardest hit of all the groups? This is a trick question. I don't think there's any way you'd come up with the answer. The answer is the Russian mob.
Wow.
They have, for whatever reason, that putting your money in a bank in Cyprus is like it's some incredible tax haven. And you can actually get Cyprian citizenship if you've got $30 million. There's a couple of other ways to do it, too. But if you start a business, buy a business, or just come over and deposit, I think it's actually the equivalent of $33 million U.S. dollars. They'll just hand you citizenship. Boom. No questions asked.
Wow. Well, that's just a bargain.
And the Russian mob, they reportedly have an awful lot of money. They went through times, you know, Cold War. It was very brutal there. But then once the Soviet Union broke up and free enterprise came out to play, which I guess really isn't free, so much money has been made. There's all these guys, they go out to the discos at night and they get these private tables and they pay, you know, like 10, 20 grand just to sit at some roped off table and then drink, you know, $1,000 bottles of champagne, and they just spend money like there's no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Are you talking about our government again? Oh, I'm sorry. That was something else. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, our government, the Russian mob, you know, something on a on a cloudy day, it's hard to tell the difference. So.
Right. Well, there it is. Everybody knows. So, anyway, it'll be interesting to see, of course, how all that plays out.
And tomorrow we got the Fed.
I'm sorry?
Tomorrow we have the Fed announcement.
Yeah, tomorrow we have the Fed announcement, and that will be very interesting as well, because we have a number of movements underway in the markets that I think are worthwhile talking about, of course, today, and we will, and we'll, if you want to, we can get right into it.
Okay.
We don't have to, dilly-dally.
Frank typed into the chat room. Frank, if you've got a link to that article, if you could send it through to me, I'd appreciate it. He read an article that says there's rumors of the Fed tapering off of the bond purchases.
Okay.
In other words, when we get the Fed announcement tomorrow, there could be some language in there that are, they could just come right out and say, we're not going to continue to buy these bonds at the rate we've been buying them, and that will take a hit. The market will take a hit from that.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll bounce back, but initially – it could take us way down.
It very much could, and we've on many occasions talked about the blue moon thing and that the real estate has already started to move up, although it's certainly not done on the upside. But we are going to see the total picture of low interest rates and low housing disappear. That's going to go away. It's probably going to be good for the economy to do so. Housing prices going up, interest rates going up, not radically, but going up, so that it juices the economy. It's good for America. Whether or not this administration gets credit for it or not is not my concern. But it is important for the economy, I think, to have somewhat higher interest rates. And that is probably going to be coming soon. And that's very interesting that somebody has perhaps some insight into the idea that the government may have had enough of buying the bonds. We'll definitely see how that plays out.
There's an article, I've got it up on the screen, Defying Gravity, Miami Condos Soar Again.
Yeah.
And the story here is that it's foreign investors coming in paying cash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chinese, Russians, buying it up, paying cash.
We have quite a bit of that going on here in Las Vegas as well. There's no doubt about it. I've been around and I've seen it. So, a lot of these people believe, and rightfully so, that the banks aren't paying any interest.
Right.
And to have a home, to buy a new construction home, and to even to rent it out, even at a very reasonable rent, is a much better place for your money than sitting in a bank where there is some risk with, you know, default and so on, and not having a return. So a lot of people, you know, even if they're not getting top dollar for the rent and so on, it's a much better place for their money, and they have some real room for appreciation on the upside. I've mentioned on the radio that I believe that housing, at least in Las Vegas, probably many other places as well, is going to go in terms of a target, like a price target in the S&P, is going to go to $150 a square foot. So that means that, as an example, a new home that was selling for, say, $179,000 for 2,000 square feet is going to be worth $300,000. That's where it's going. So we're a bit off that right now. We're probably at about $110, $114 a square foot, but I believe we're going to see 150 a square foot in pretty short order in new construction in reasonable areas, you know, not the worst areas of town, but in reasonable areas. And until we see that number, I believe that houses, and even after that, I think housing is a buy. So, and we've talked about this on the radio all the way back to the beginning of 2012, but I wouldn't want people to think that they can't buy now, because I do think it's going higher. Go ahead, Dwayne. What was that?
There's a house. Michael and I have talked about this on the show a couple times. A house across the street from me went on the market like 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was last Thursday or Friday that they actually came early before the sun rose and put the sign in the front yard.
Uh-huh.
The beehive of activity. Now, it's a nice home. It's in a nice neighborhood, but it's certainly not a fancy home, and no McMansion or anything. But a very nice single family home in a nice neighborhood. I just the first day alone that it was on the market, I probably saw 50 different
right
cars come with their agent and go through that place, and. Mm-hmm. In the last, I guess, maybe it's been about 5 days, I bet you I've seen over 100 people, 125, I don't know, I've lost count. Every time I look across the street, there's three or four cars parked out front and an agent taking people through that house.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Phoenix, we've watched homes linger on the market for weeks, months, a year, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
This thing's not lingering. In fact, I'm quite sure that it's going to sell for more than the asking price.
Yeah. Oh, I'm almost positive it would.
So that has to – for anyone who believes that, you know, housing is a cornerstone of our economy, if that certainly looks like some green shoots to me, some real green
mm-hmm.
shoots.
Mm-hmm.
But this time people have to get it right, that a home is a place you raise your family, you build memories. It's not an ATM.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That thing didn't work out before. Not saying buying a home isn't a good investment. It is. Mark Twain said it, I think, the best. How did it go? Real estate will always be a good investment because they ain't making no more.
He was speaking, or land. Maybe land. It was land.
He was referring to land. He wasn't really referring to houses, in his quote. But now houses, they're still building new houses. But I think his quote carries well here and in this economy, because prices right now, even though this house will probably sell for, you know, a little more, there'll be a little bit of a bidding war and it'll sell for, you know, mm-hmm. $10,000-$20,000 more than the asking price, it's still going to be 50% of what it sold for originally when it was built 6-7 mm-hmm. years ago.
Do you know what the asking price is?
I don't.
For that?
No, I don't.
Okay. Just curious in the area there what they're going for. But either way,
these were $300,000 to $400,000 homes, and they've been knocked down to $100,000 to $200,000 homes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. A lot of the people that do show up at these, when you see the 50 and 60 people, a lot of them are trying to buy what is shown as comps. They believe that the recent comps are what the house is going to sell for, and they're completely wrong. It's not going to sell anywhere near what recent comps are, because the market is way ahead of that. But the comps have not been changed because they lag behind the real market, and the real market has been on fire, and so... That is, we've really made a V bottom in real estate. That is what has happened. We came down and we hit a bottom, and they turned and they're just going straight up. And
wouldn't you argue that? Wouldn't you say that we've based for at least a couple of years?
No, I wouldn't actually. At least out here in Las Vegas, I wouldn't. What happened out here in Las Vegas?
Okay.
Was that the market, and you may not have been following it as close, but the market actually made three distinct bottoms. It made a bottom and then bounced. It made a new, shockingly new low and bounced and crushed down just a little bit lower, and then it bounced again and then finally made a third or maybe even fourth, in some people's way of reading it, low. And it was during that fourth low that the market made over the period of 3 to 4 years that it struck me that we were done on the downside, that there was no further appreciable decline possible, and that, you know, we would not see those bottoms for 50 years and all the stuff that we've talked about. But no, I definitely did not see, and I have to tell you, because Jody lives out in Phoenix, or Jody had lived up in Pine, Arizona, but having driven around and seen Phoenix and been there many, many times, I've probably been to Phoenix 50 times in the last 4 years. I've been there a lot. And what it looked like to me was, and I don't live there, but I did see prices go down, and I did see prices go down again. So I know that they were sort of experiencing something like that wave, where you see new lows being put in and so on. Also in Laguna, California, where we had rented a place out there, I spent quite a bit of time with real estate people out there looking at their properties, and Laguna was lagging the rest of the country, essentially, in coming to the understanding or the realization that their property values were not where they thought they were. People were asking prices that were not going to be fulfilled, and the market had to move lower and lower and lower. And it did, and it's bottomed as well, and those prices are probably rebounding pretty nicely over there. But yeah, no, I didn't see it just go straight down to a low and hang at that low. I saw it actually make new lows and continue to go down. Now, I live in a very small house out here in Las Vegas. So my house was a good example of this kind of thing going on, where let me give you some of the numbers so you can get an idea. The house that I live in was originally about $235,000, $240,000. So, and it's just a 1,000 square foot house. It went down initially to about 175 and had a bounce. It went down again to about 120. From 175, it just dropped like a rock to 120. It bounced again and went down to 88 from 240. So we distinctly saw big waves down over that period. And when it had hit 88, and I had seen the 88, and I checked all the other property values in the neighborhood, you know, I'm looking at real estate like a market, like an investment, like anything else. It struck me that that and some other factors that I was taking into consideration, that we had a serious bottom that was in the market. And it took the market from the point that we actually came on your radio in January to talk about the fact that we thought that the bottom had been in real estate. We thought it might bounce immediately, but it took several months into March and April of 2012 before the home builders really started saying, hey, something's afoot here. We're starting to see a little bit more traffic than we normally would, and it's very consistent. And then when it got to July and August, it picked up, and then late in 2012, the home builders were purposely raising their prices on new homes just to slow down the buying, because lumber and other materials that the home builders used to build these homes were going through the roof. Go take a look at lumber if you want to see what we're talking about. So anyway, the cost of goods went up. Everybody realized there's a run underway, and you know, and so on. So the rest is history. So, yeah, in answering that, yeah, I think we saw distinct waves. Maybe in Arizona, in your part, it just flatlined right away, or sort of ranged, you know, down near the original lows. You would know that better, you know, than I would. But out here, we distinctly made some big legs down. I was really shocked by how sharply it dropped from about 175 down to about 120 in a very short period of time. And then it hit it again down to 88. So at $88, at $88,000, you could not build the house that I live in. It actually was worth less than it would cost to build it with the land, even at that point. And that was part of what I was looking at. And then the other thing is that when people don't want anything, when houses aren't moving and they don't want anything, you know houses are going to come back. You know they're going to come back. They're not going away forever. It's a practical thing. Somebody needs somewhere to live. All those factors came into effect. And then I also tried my very best to put together a kind of a, as bizarre as it sounds, kind of a roadmap for real estate, and I don't have all the information, but what it showed me was that I'm 100% certain we're not going to be seeing the lows we saw in 2011 for the rest of my life, for another 50 years. That's how important I think that bottom was. So I really encourage people to look at real estate and to realize and to understand that even though it has gone up decently since the bottom, it is still there. It's still a great deal. It's a great thing if you can put it together at this time. And I would tell you that all the way up to $150 a square foot, I would want to review it at that time to see, you know, if, how things are looking. But anyway, it's been an amazing thing to live through that. It's really remarkable, and it's given me some new insights into the practicalities and the real worldness of a product other than looking at a market and assigning news to it. You know, when you're really out there touching and feeling the product and seeing the homes and seeing the neighborhoods and seeing the prices, there is a different perspective than seeing it on a chart. You know, there is something additional there that gets through. So anyway, so that's basically it. It's just another trade. It's another investment. It's another way of putting something together if you have the mindset to do so, or the capital, or the whatever's necessary to do it. I really encourage people to take advantage of it before too long. So if you want, Dwayne, anything else on homes or housing? Or
No, but I did just see a headline that they've postponed that vote in Cyprus until tomorrow.
Okay. Did you have, I'm just out of curiosity, you don't have to give numbers, did you have a one-half haircut in your house? Did you have a two-thirds? Where do you think you went from the peak down, just in percentages?
I went down two-thirds, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and that's what happened out here. That's exactly what happened out here. So, well, there we go. So let's. Do you want to get over to the S&P? We'll take a quick look.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't have a lot to add to what we've talked about. We were, in a way, we were hoping for more decline off of the of 55 area that they tested and closed. You know, the highest close we've had is 56. So this is actually more indicative of kind of normal behavior where you get a multi-day move in this market, a bigger decline, and we're seeing that now, and I'm happy to see it. To be honest, it helps me to believe that it's not just a really ridiculous market. At least they're doing some normal things here. The on-time day for the bottom, we may have mentioned this yesterday, is March 19th, and they may well have put that bottom in one day early, but we're not done with today yet. So we're going to let them. And they're declining pretty good today. We've had a pretty good decline so far. Slow, but consistent, and they're pushing lower here. And this, to me, is much more healthy than the market staying in a small range and trying to, you know, in a very compressed manner, just keep making new highs. So as we stand right now, the Dow Jones Industrials did, in fact, make new all-time highs, which is an incredible thing. The S&P was not able to. I'm not 100% sure about the cash market. I'm not as concerned about it, but because we don't trade in that directly. But I don't think the cash market actually made a new high either. You can correct me on that one. I don't think it did, though. So the Dow is the main one of the three big ones that made the new high, and that's a very, very big feat to do. They were able to do that, and now they're back below that. So if we are going to go higher, we're going to go higher off of a bottom like the March 19th, but we do have some other indications that I've not given out yet with regard to this, and one of them would have the market down at 1486. This is something that we've not mentioned yet, but we don't have it all put together yet, that this decline that we're at right now could actually test 1486. I know that's a substantial discount to where we are right now, and it's not an outright forecast, but I do want to say that some of the stuff that we're working on leans towards that. And, you know, we do have to contend with the daily bottom that we're talking about and so on. So we don't have – I don't have anything more than that. But when we do have that, we may be able to say something on the radio about it. Now, what about you, Dwayne, on S&P?
S&P, we yesterday we were tied in this range. We had a zone overhead at 53.54 and below at 44.45. So kind of bounced off of that. And then overnight, it tried to reach back up to the 53.54. It didn't quite make it. Now, this swing high that we had yesterday was 52.50. And the close on Friday was, the close was 52.50. And the swing high yesterday was 52.50. So we actually closed the gap for all of those gap enthusiasts. That was a to-the-tick close of the gap. Amazing how that kind of stuff works out. Sometimes, I'm not a big gap trader, guys, but I'm just saying it's to-the-tick. All right, and so it couldn't get up to that zone, 53.54. It missed it by one tick. We came within one tick, it looks like here, of this zone, bounced, couldn't get back up there. So that kind of spelled, you know, some, as you would say, David, weakness in the market. And down we've come. Below us, we've got support pegged at 32.33. But this little candle formation that we just put in on the hourly, and the fact that that news came out of Cyprus that they've postponed the vote till tomorrow, this right here might be our low for the day. We may have seen the low of the day here at 34.25.
Right.
You think that's about right?
I don't know if we've seen the low of the day or not, but and I certainly could agree that we may have. I don't have a forecast for it, but you know, generally speaking, we're in a downtrend. They're attempting to go lower. You know, one of the things we see commonly in these declines in an ongoing uptrend is for the reflected wave to come in on time or one unit early, and today is the on-time day. Yesterday was one unit early. So, yeah, I don't have a lot to add to it really here just at this point, other than, you know, nearby numbers that are very similar for us that, you know, we've been testing today and so on. So we're, you know, our overall view is that we're still in a very powerful uptrend until further notice. We're still doing what we normally do with it, and we'll let it go for a while until we see a much more clear indication of what we can do with this. You know, and if you don't see something that's really clear, just don't do anything. Just don't try to turn something that isn't a trade for you and your methodology into something that looks like it is, because then you're just kidding yourself. You know, you'll know when it's right. You know, and you don't have to work real hard to make it look right to you. So yeah, that's our whole take on it right now, Dwayne.
Okay.
Don't have a whole lot more.
We had a tweet that got triggered at 15:42, and I've since retweeted that anybody that's still short in that should probably consider, I think, covering here, locking it in, at least tightening your stop, because, I mean, normally I would say, you know, we are going to come down and test this support level. That would be what would normally happen. But this little setup right here, coupled with the news, I would just be more comfortable knowing that people had locked in. It was a nice move. It was like 7-point move. So, I mean, that's good. Yeah, if you want to stay with it, at least part of your position, I mean, go ahead. But I've issued my – I always try to err on the side of caution when I put something out like that. So, and sometimes people go, you know, if you hadn't said that, I'd have stayed in it and I'd have made a whole lot of money. Well, okay, I'm sorry. Guilty as charged. Uh-huh. Guilty as charged. You want to go to gold now? Want to do that?
Sure. Let's take a look at gold. Now, we actually do have a really nice trade underway in gold. This is a multi, you know, this is a longer term multi-day setup that we had given out back on the originally long position. We were looking for a bottom on March 11th. The low actually came one trading day early on March 8th. That was a Friday-Monday deal, so there's a couple days in there on the weekend. But we went long, issued long on the March 11th, and we were holding for the market to get to 16.18 to 16.20. And today, so far, we've made a high of 16.15. And we've exited once along the way today at 16.11. So we're basically sitting with our remaining half position. Our indication that we're taking here is based on the assumption that gold is has already perhaps put in a very important monthly bottom last month, but it's really due this month. It came in 1 month early, and we're trading this with that idea. And so far, it has worked out pretty well. And then along the way, we had forecast that either on March 14th, they would either be at the 16.18 to 16.20, or they begin the move to it. And we're almost there. We've gotten up to 16.15, and we'll see how the market plays out between today and tomorrow here. But I do think that, you know, part of the thing that we're seeing in gold, it responds very nicely to uncertainty, to bad news, that sort of thing. So we're seeing some of that move up, and this is very helpful to our longer-term position of being in gold in the ETFs, and again, with this short-term stuff. So
yeah, we're up, what, $10 on the day, $9.10?
Yeah, we're up a little over $9 on the day here. If we really do have a larger bottom in, we could be seeing substantially higher prices than this. So, you know, we may have to take each trade as it comes along here, but one of the things is that for these bigger moves, it usually is probably wiser just to be in the thing and hold on for these bigger moves rather than try to whether medium-term or very short-term snippet, because you probably end up with more in the end simply getting the whole single swing or a good portion of it if it's possible. So we like gold. It's doing everything it should do. It's taken a few days to get up here. It really has just moved meanderingly up, but we're in and we're holding for higher prices here. So we'll see how this plays out. If they do get up to 16.18 to 16.20 or very close to that, many of the people that we're working with are going to exit some of their positions or all of them at that point, but we could still have an explosive setup here. The way that they took all this time to get up here, that sort of meandering kind of move, sometimes those meandering moves end up being very explosive. So just keep that in mind. And you know, this is something that we gave out on Messenger Pro, and we also give it to our institutional guys. So let's see. If you want to, we'll zip a little bit past the gold. We also have a nice thing going on in the bond market. Many of the, again, the institutional people are in long on bonds, waiting for 1433, which was a target we gave a few days ago. We've gotten up to 143.30 is the number that we're looking for. They've gotten up to 143.26 so far today. So just about four ticks away from it. And we're probably going to issue a report on this because they've had a decent move up here. And as you know, we're looking for a monthly bottom in February in this market. Now, what you'd said earlier, Duane, about the Fed perhaps coming out and changing their stance on bonds would be a very important thing. And if that were the case, that could be the kind of news that starts the bigger break in bonds, because bonds have done nothing wrong in any of this decline. And normally, bonds would be able to rally easily back up to 149 over a period of time here. So the fact is that if it becomes a fact that they're going to stop buying bonds, I think that is a very important piece of news, obviously, for the bond market. Until that comes, though, I like the sort of buy the rumor, sell the factness of the trade that we're in here on the long side, because we are in a move that the fact is going to come out tomorrow. So I like the idea of being long into tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because of that kind of setup. If you happen to be in a position, you know, if you happen to be long in something and you later find out that there's news coming out on a certain date, it's often a very good way for you to just say, I think I'm going to hold a little something into that date. It doesn't have to be the exact date or time for the moment. I would like to hold it into tomorrow, but quite often the market will run right up into the news and then turn. And this is something that we've talked about, you know, of course, on the radio, but if you're in a position based on pure technicals and you find later that there's important news coming out that could radically affect the market, most people would say, well, hell, I don't want to be in this. I want to get out right here and right now. That's the normally intuitive thing to do. The non-intuitive thing is to hold and say they could really have a big run into this news. You know, however big the news is, that's how big the run could be. So that's why I like holding on to the bonds here, is because if the news is that important, the run into the news may be equally important. And that's the way you have to start learning to think in these markets, in trading. It's just the nature of the beast. It's not human nature. It's just the nature of the market. Let's see. On Euro, you know, we finally did break below the 129.60 level that we have talked about a number of times that we've been suspicious of, that they've been able to stay above it. And finally, they did break it. This is really a little bit more normal behavior, and we'll see how they handle that. I don't have any new indications on the Euro at this time. We're going to wait for a little more time to see what they're able to do and so on.
This is the lowest price since November.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Back when we were talking about the potential for there to be parity between the euro and the U.S. dollar, in other mm-hmm. words, them both being, you know, equal, mm-hmm. And then we had a rally, and now we're kind of headed back in the direction of potential parity again if this thing doesn't get itself turned around.
Yeah.
Let's see about the pound, because yesterday we noted that the pound had not been affected by the Cyprus stuff in the same way the euro had. The pound just got beat up for sure over a long period of time, but over the last couple of days, let's see, today's Tuesday, there's Monday, there's Friday. Yeah, the pound has just kind of shrugged off the whole Cyprus thing, whereas the euro continued its decline. So I'll put the chart back to the
yeah.
euro. So, okay.
The next thing that I was going to mention is the crude oil market. The people that we are working with are still short.
Rollover.
In the crude into rollover, and we've rolled over into May. So we're talking about the May crude oil market.
Okay.
And today they're having a pretty powerful decline. Yesterday they had a strangely robust and powerful advance that none of us liked. But today we are going to close back below the 93.90 area, which is very important. And that, to us, we think lower prices are coming now. We think that what they did over the last couple of days was very tricky, and we think there's the potential for much lower prices. You know, all of this has to do with a larger roadmap that we're trading, and even as we're speaking, they're making new lows. We're down about $1.18 right now, and we are expecting, you know, this is the opportunity for crude oil to show that this advance that we've had off the low that was made on March 4th, this decline is an opportunity for crude to show and reassert the larger decline, which is part of the larger forecast for us. Just for those that you know, may not have been or may be new, back in December 3rd, the roadmap was forecasting that the market would bottom at or near $85 and then advance from that bottom in early December up to a January high at $95 or higher. January would mark a top. The market would then go down approximately 10 points or 10,000 per contract and then have a bounce and then continue down for a total of $20,000 per contract off the January high. That's the whole roadmap. Well, the bounce that we're in the bounce part right now. So this is the third forecast leg of the roadmap with the low that they made on March 4th and this bounce. The bounce has been tricky in some ways and has tested everybody who's in its patience, but today they're selling off and we're looking for this to be the opportunity for crude oil to reassert the larger downtrend. Now, if it turns out that they're really not able to do that, for whatever reason, then we're going to update this. And for those of you who have an interest in the roadmap or seeing some of these larger setups and so on, you can come take a trial of either Messenger Pro or our institutional product, which is it's there for people who are either professionals or even non-professionals, of course, but usually people that are trading with perhaps bigger positions, that sort of thing, more serious about being in for longer periods of time and trading these roadmaps and bigger swings. You can do that by giving us a call at 888-231-4702. You can get 2 weeks of that. And it's interesting to listen in. I think you would find it interesting to listen to what people who are trading, you know, who are running hedge funds and that sort of thing, CTAs with hundreds of millions of dollars at stake, what they're thinking, what they're saying, how they frame up a trade that we may give them, how they put together ideas. They're just ordinary people, but they obviously they have some skill set that they've developed. And I do want to tell you also that many of these people, they do have some skill set they develop, but they're just as vulnerable to the bad habits as any of us are. So, you know, some of them are really good. I know, I think I'm thinking of one in particular of managing the risk. They really take the risk management, and it's beautiful because they're never in trouble. They never get themselves in trouble. Others that don't manage risk as well but are learning to do so, from time to time, they get in trouble. And that is damaging psychologically to people to go through that. So, but you'll see all that if you take a trial. So anyway, crude's going down. I'm not going to give out all the numbers that we were calling for on the downside, but just today, just a few moments ago, they got very close to reaching the number that we had forecast the initial move today down would bring us to. And so we'll continue to watch crude over the next couple of days here and see what how this plays out. So let's see. There's a couple other markets I think would be important. I mentioned yesterday about the Aussie dollar, and we've talked about it, that they've completed their forecast for a 300 pip move, and that's over. We're going to continue to watch that. Tesla, the electric car company stock, down sharply over the last several days with the overall market. Nothing to add there. Japanese yen is in a small bounce off of their incredible decline that they're having right now. And I think there might be one or two other markets I might want to mention. Dollar, of course, higher based on the euro being lower, or the other way around, however you like to look at it. Copper continues to decline strongly. This is a surprise move in copper. They've really, really putting it to the downside here. In the copper. And I'm not sure what news that may have anything to do with. And then our, you know, one of the two big home runs we've had recently is the natural gas market, which continues to attempt higher. They've completed the full $4 move up, but they're still made a new recent high today, and we'll continue to watch that. We're all of us, except for one of the institutional guys, are out of this trade, and we're going to wait for the next, you know, indication on that. So I don't have anything new to add to that. But it's a beautiful example of a fast move that, you know, can be forecast in advance. Now, real quick, is Robin not here today, Dwayne?
She had an appointment today. She's out. But I just want to point out, guys, on this crude here, this is a daily chart. Okay, go back to November 22nd. We've got a double top right there. So if you are in crude, if you're still in crude, you just might want to at least be aware. Well, in fact, if you're in this trade, if you're swing trading this, then I'm sure that you are aware that there's a double top. But for anyone else that might be thinking about, hey, you know, this is looking so good, I'm just going to go ahead and get long now. I would caution you. I would let it clear this area, let it spike above it, and then hold on a pullback before you consider continuing with it higher. Double top. Back to you, Dave.
Okay, well, very good. I think that's everything we have right now, Dwayne. I am keeping an eye on a few other markets, like sugar, things that a lot of us don't trade in, and also a couple other commodities, but I don't have, unless there's any questions, I don't have a whole lot more. You know, we've talked many times about Apple and their big descent here and how we're all kind of concerned about Apple's longer-term ability, you know, as a company for practical matters to continue doing what they do, not just becoming another company that competes with other companies, but staying ahead of them. We've been calling for a second quarter bottom in the an Apple, and I still, even though we're in the one quarter early right now, I would give them a little time here before we're going to do anything with it. That's for sure. We're going to let them continue to show their hand, and we'll make less money with more certainty in the stock at that time. But what an incredible decline!
Yeah.
When you look at this, I mean, this went from, just so you get this, a stock that was trading at $705. Down to a recent low of 419, nearly cutting the entire run, the bull run of this whole company, almost in half. Just amazing.
Yeah.
So,
guys, I see your correction in the chat room. Yes, I did accidentally say crude when I was showing you.
Yeah, you were looking
gas.
At the natural gas
chart. I said crude, but thank that. This tells me you guys are paying attention, so that's good.
It was just a test. You knew you were looking at it, but you were testing us
on the Apple chart here on the daily chart. We're up against right now, guys. We've kind of rallied the last couple days, but now today's a down day. We hit that 50-period moving average on the daily chart, and that's resistance. The last time we hit it right here, it knocked it way down. And this was the – we talked about the death cross when that happened. Okay, this is way back here. And then price rallied to the 50, couldn't get through it, big drop. And now it's not so much that price – now, there's a difference, so hear what I'm saying. It's not so much that price has rallied up to the 50. It's that the 50 has come down to find price. And that's two very distinctly different scenarios. Think about what I'm saying. Price did not rally up to hit the 50. The 50 came down and found price. So meditate on that. As you go to your mountaintop today, meditate on that.
Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
There you go.
Also, in Apple for us next week, the week of March 25th is the on-time week for a top. So next week, is that the final week of March? I think it might be. Is the next important market top on the weekly for this particular stock, Apple. So it would be interesting to see if the market can, it even has the strength to make that top, and not come in one unit early, but actually make it. And if it does, there would be a short sale, you know, for a trader, somebody who wants to trade that decline, that would be something. So between this week and next, I think it should be interesting to see how Apple plays out here. Other than that, we're very much inside the ongoing downtrend in Apple. So,
yeah.
You know, if you happen to be short Apple, and I know many of the people that listen may not even trade in stocks, but if you happen to be short, I would not be uncomfortable with the rally into next week.
Don has a question in the chat room. Is 1532 still a good number for the ES to hold? Don, is that a question for David?
I think it is, actually, because I think we mentioned yesterday – there's two levels that we had originally forecast. Well, the first one was 28, that any decline that came off, any normal decline would go down to 28. And then we also mentioned yesterday, that if the market closed above 32, that would be the better position for yesterday. Now, today we've come in, we're now sitting right at 32 and testing that level. Yes, the answer is yes. If they closed above 32, that is a better position and would indicate the likelihood that the low came in one day early. My preference would be, you know, show us a normal decline here and put in the on-time bottom. That's what I'd like to see. That means that today would make a new low. And I'd like to see, you know, that means they would test the 28 level. We didn't really touch 28, by the way. We got down to 29.50. which is close enough, and normally we could say, well, you know, that's them trying to get down there, and they weren't quite able to. But I would really like to see just a full-on normal decline here. I don't know that that is going to happen, but I would like to see that. And, you know, if you give me just a minute here, I might be able to give you one other thing.
Here's
that
an example,
might be
guys,
important.
Of me being overly cautious. Again, I sent out that tweet that said, hey, consider, well, I said, consider locking in some or all, at very least, tighten stops. So if you got out, that's what you did fine on the trade. It's not an issue. You did well. If you stayed in it, because I said I really, on a normal day, I would just think for sure that this thing was going to come down and test the weekly zone at 32.33. That's exactly what it has done, and it's bouncing. See, here's what I did, guys, is I tried to read the news into it, okay? I tried to go, ooh, they're going to postpone the vote, and so maybe we've seen the bottom. You know, nobody's perfect. I'm the poster child for nobody's perfect. 10 years running, maybe 15.
Well, nobody is perfect. Some of us have more perfect hair than others.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's a different subject. One thing I was going to mention is that, I would like, I mean, that would be nice just to see a full-on, ordinary, on-time bottom. But I do want to say this, that for those of you who might be a little bit more nimble with the market, let me lay this out for you as a, if this happens, then you can do this type of setup, okay? And let me double check this before I give it so that I'm not later saying I shouldn't have said anything. So let me just give me just one moment here. And if I can, 1 second here, Dwayne.
Sure.
Okay, so yeah. What I'm thinking about here is that let's lay out a if-then scenario, okay? So here's the if-then scenario. Even if today were to close above yesterday's low and not even touch yesterday's low, even if that does happen, if in tomorrow's session, that would be March 20th session, if we were to touch 1528 and then reverse at that level, I would buy the market immediately. And I would hold it, if you can, overnight for a test of 1548. Okay? So let me repeat it one more time. I normally don't go recently. I haven't recently gone into this much detail about these types of setups. But I can do that because I just love our audience. And I know I'm, and I haven't given this out to anybody else. So it's not something that they can say, hey, you shouldn't have given that out on the radio. So let me repeat it one more time. This is an if-then kind of scenario. If today stays above yesterday's low, or even if today was to go below it, as long as on Wednesday, tomorrow, March 20th, if we were, even if it was a flash-fast move down, like according to the news that we talked about earlier, news comes out, if they touch the 28 level and are able to confirm back above that without breaking it too much, maybe a little bit below 28 to 26, but they touch that and we start getting confirmation if you want to use hourly closes or whatever above that, I would want to use that as a buying signal for a retest and a likely, and it would require an overnight position for a likely retest of the 48, 49 level. So I hope that's understandable. If not, ask your doctor or pharmacist. No, but that's, you can call us if you have any questions about that. But that's what is setting up here. There's a lot of, I guess what you could call a volatility cycle is setting up here in the market with this decline. And I would like to take advantage. If that scenario lays out, I would be very happy to trade that for that kind of a fast reversal. So there you are. That's the whole darn shooting match right there, Dwayne.
Okay. All right.
So I don't have really anything else for today. Interesting stuff happening in the markets. We'll wait till tomorrow. And as always, will Robin be back tomorrow?
She will.
Okay.
She certainly will. Tomorrow's Friday, okay, guys, so keep that in mind. It could be... if they start talking about whacking these bond purchases, we can see a very volatile Fed afternoon.
Yeah.
The kind that we used to see years ago that we haven't seen in a while since the Fed used up all of the bullets in their interest rate gun.
Right. Well, and we used to be well fed.
Yeah, and so far, I've only heard one mention of that, and that was from Frank, who read it somewhere, and even he said that wherever it was he read it, it was just kind of rumored, so, you know, don't try to take that to the bank and cash it, because we don't have any verification of any kind yet that they are going. Now, if it turns out they do say that, then we'll know we had some pretty good intel, but we don't know yet, so let's just wait and see what happens. But tomorrow looks to be a big day. So far, 32.33 holding.
Yeah.
Getting a little bounce there off that weekly zone. So let's just watch this, and there'll probably be some trades throughout the afternoon. We've still got, 2.5 hours of trading left today. So, all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, beautiful. Dwayne, thanks for having me on, and thanks for the questions. I'll see you guys tomorrow. It should be real interesting. Have a wonderful afternoon, and I'll see you in the morning.
All right, Dave. Take care.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. What time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you.
Alright guys, looks like that's gonna wrap it up here, unless you've got a question. If you have a question, type it into the chat box. Be happy to cover it, talk about it. Now, everybody's wondering, is there a zone below? Yeah, there is. But we're getting pretty far down there. We do have one more. Partners, you know what it is. If you want to take the free trial, I'll tell you what it is. If you've already taken the free trial and you're not a habitual free trial taker, send me an email, support@cfrn.net, and I will direct you over to a place where you can take a second chance. All right. Now, is it going to hold? Is it not going to hold? I don't know. Just being honest with you. I'll always be honest with you. All we can base it on is the high probability that it will until it doesn't. And how will we know when it doesn't? Does London closing affect our markets here? Usually when London closes, which is exactly the time that we close the live trading room every day, during the 30-minute... This is a question from Gary in the chat room. Does London closing affect our markets here? I'm going to say yes, because almost every day we close the live trading room at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. When we come back to open the radio show at noon, almost every day there's been some kind of a significant move. Now, everybody has a different definition of what's significant, but I'm going to say yes, Gary. That is true. Alan asks, what has to happen before we can say the runaway bull market is over? Well, a lot. Let's go look at a daily chart. Okay, now let's roll back. Let me shrink this volume portion down. Okay. I started this price channel back in November. Bottom of the channel. We hit the bottom of the channel again December 28th. Keep in mind that we've been climbing now for 4 years. The runaway part really has happened here since the beginning of the new year. We gapped into the new year. Okay? This gap. We hit the top of this trend line, top of this price channel. We walked up that trend line all the way up till February. And then the last Fed meeting, okay, the last Fed meeting, there was some talk that the markets didn't like for whatever reason. And we took a pretty good hit. off of that Fed meeting. We found support at 1480. We've climbed all the way back up to the most recent high, 5875. Now, all we've done right here is we've gotten back below this this trend line. This channel, and some would argue that the channel is not really intact anymore, that I should redraw it. Okay, I don't want to argue that. But we originally, the channel was 70 points wide. A 50% retracement of this channel would be 35 points. So let's go see what 35 points looks like. 1460. Let's use a different tool. So I'm going to go 1440 to 1475. How close did I get? Didn't get very close, did I? 1440. Ah, that's close enough. I overshot it. Yeah. 1440 to 1475. Okay, that's a 35 points. Remember, we had said 35 points would be 50%, would be the middle of the channel. So all we got to do is just drag that little tool up. And that tells us that this point right here . This is our line in the sand. If price comes down to 1520, then we would expect price to do one or two things. Break lower to hit the bottom of the channel. Let me go ahead and extend that out. All right. Now you can see the full channel. Halfway down is right here, 1520. Okay. And that in itself is not, well, let's do this. Let's grab our Fib tool. Just on the last leg up, okay, since the last little mini correction that we had off the last Fed meeting, we don't have a 38% retracement yet. Now, this little line that we just drew, the middle of the channel, that would be a 50% retracement of the last leg up. Okay. So far, there's really been no damage done to this bull run. Really none at all. We would have to... Let me go to a different chart. I can't bring up the cash market on this platform. If I had my other platform loaded, maybe I'll try to load it up tomorrow. See, we can go back in this contract. We can look back as far as last November. So let's draw some fibs from last November. Remember, we're in a four-year bull run. I'm only drawing fibs back to last November because that's the last significant low that I can see on this chart. If we were just looking at that leg, a 38% retracement would put us all the way down at 1472. And we're currently trading 1532. So it's about 50 points lower, 60 points lower. Yeah, about 60 points lower. That'd be 600 points in the Dow. So here's where I would have some questions. Okay. See, this swing low, that's important from a charting perspective. If you take out that swing low, you start to have questions. Now, the next important one would be this swing low right here that was put in on December the 28th. Remember, we rallied into the new year, but we had a huge down day on the 28th of December right there. So I would look for this low to be taken out, this low to be taken out, and then if this November low was taken out at 1331, I would then start to have some questions about perhaps this is more than just a retracement, and it's actually a reversal. It's always easy to tell after the fact, but the question you ask right now is a very good question, a very valid question. How do we know in the middle of it? Well, you have to just take it one step at a time. For now, we have to look at the low of yesterday, which was 1529.5. If we get below that, then from a daily chart perspective, the next key area would be 1476. Well, no, let's see. If we take out yesterday's low, then you see this little area right here. Let me blow this up so you can see it better. I'm going to get rid of the fibs for now, because those really aren't true. I mean, they're true, but I'm not able to draw them fully, so let's not confuse the issue. Support, yesterday's low. Okay. If that's broken, then you look left, and this area here, this is a support area. Okay. Now, you could go, well, what about the low was at 94. Okay, so you actually have about a 5-point little area in here. But that spike, that's what it was. It was a spike. The area is actually across the bottom of these bodies, in my opinion. Other people would go, no, the support's really at the bottom of the spike. Okay, why don't we agree to just call it an area? Okay, like that. See, now we've encompassed the whole thing. Now everybody's right. If that's broken, we come look at this. 1475-76 area. If that gets broken, now we come down to look at the December 28 low. Every one of these areas that I've outlined and highlighted are places where the market may find support and actually continue the advance. No doubt we're in a decline right now off of the high put in on Friday at 58.75. We're in the third day of a decline. Okay? But if we don't take out yesterday's low, we're working on an inside day. If we put in an inside day, that could signal that the market is going to attempt to rally into the Fed. And if the Fed delivers good news as opposed to the bad news we just talked about, we could be off and running again. So for this thing to come undone, to answer that question, it's going to take a lot. However, with that said, the last advance, not the advance we're in now, but the previous advance, I showed you guys that big picture chart. It's on the blog. 5-year advance was undone in 1.5 years. So if this thing starts to come unraveled, it can happen very quickly. We decline big picture much quicker than we rally. Jonathan says that some say the last high was the end of a fifth wave on Elliott. Okay. Confirmed when we trade below the last high at 23.24. 23.24. That would be right there. Okay, now this is an Elliott wave thing, and this is from Jonathan. He understands that. Okay, I'm not an Elliott guy. Don't pretend to be. But I know that there is validity in it. I just don't understand it. And Jonathan does understand it to a degree. And so he's pointing this out, that for an Elliott wave person, price trading back below this high would signal that this high we put in back on Friday was the end of a fifth wave. You know what? I'll bring up my other platform tonight. I'll get a cash chart out, and I will, big picture, I'll try to draw out those waves for you. Now, we're not going to switch over and become Elliott guys, because it's just beyond me. It's not only beyond the scope of this radio program, it's beyond the scope of my 2-watt brain. Okay? Not going to kid you about that. But thanks for pointing that out, Jonathan. So remember that, guys, because a lot of people around the world do count the waves and do follow the whole Elliott theory. And so, if we see price get below 1523/24, there's a lot of people who collectively will go, and so a lot of shorting activity could come into the market there. Or just a lot of longs might start covering their positions. People who've been, you know, long the entire year. Maybe they aren't ready to short the market, but because they're a wave counter and the wave says, hey, the party's over, so they start to unload their positions. Well, doesn't that make them a seller? Yes, but they're selling to exit a position, not to enter. There is a difference. Now, in order for them to sell to exit, there has to be a buyer willing to go long to take that position off their hands. And as Jonathan's pointing out right now, institutions use Market Profile and Elliott Wave, and so that's why he pays attention, because he knows that these big guns, these deep pockets, they're watching that stuff. Same thing with me, like the 50-day moving average, the 200-period moving average on a daily chart. The institutions, the big money, they watch that stuff. They trade off that stuff. And that alone is enough reason for me to go, okay, I understand the crowd psychology. When price of a stock or a futures contract or anything on a daily chart hits a 50-period moving average, we expect a reaction. It stalls, it reverses, it blows through. Whatever it does, it creates a tradable action. Okay. And Jonathan points out that when that happens, okay, when the Elliott guys go, I'm out of here because the fifth wave is now, we just got the signal at the 23-24 that the fifth wave is over. As those Elliott folks get ready to unload, Jonathan points out that the Fibonacci traders will be standing right there to buy and take it off their hands, because we'll be where will we be? We'll be right here, just below a 38% retracement. Now, that's just off that last leg. But the Fib guys will be buying anywhere from that 38 down to the 50. Some coming in early up here at the 23.6. So you got one group of guys, hey, because of what I see on the chart, I want to be out of my long position. And another group of guys who say, based upon what I see on my chart, I now want to be long this position. Thank you very much for sharing that, Jonathan. Great information. Okay, anything else, guys? Any other questions? Anything else you want to cover? Otherwise, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to call it a wrap. And Jonathan says, all I want to do is just take both sides of the trade and scout my money every day. And that's what we do in the live trading room, guys. We don't get too caught up in the bigger picture. Not that the bigger picture is not important, it is, but if you're looking for a couple of points a day, if the market is moving up, you can get your points. If it's moving down, you can get your points. You know, there's days when you might take a point on the long side and then a point on the short side. Wasn't that confusing? No, not really. If the trade setup is there to take the trade, this is that trade I took last night on natural gas. I did a video. I'll put it up. It's an unorthodox thing. I'll show you in the video. Okay. There was a short trade in crude right here. And now it's positioning itself possibly to get a long trade going on. Does either one of those invalidate the other? No, this money here on the short side will spend at the grocery store. And if a long trade sets up, that money will spend at the grocery store as well. This short money will spend at the grocery store. This long money will buy you a new set of tires for your car. Yeah, we just put our hard hats on and go to work. That's right. Well said. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap it right here. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.